Hello, welcome to Two Guys, Three Consoles podcast. My name is Matt Leach, also known as The Leachman. This is episode 52. And with me, as always, my friend and co-host, Jeremy J. Monster Fowler.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hello, how's it going?
Not bad, yourself?
Yeah, not bad, thank you. Not bad. I think we're going to go straight into some gaming news, and I think you should start.
All right. So, Resident Evil Requiem, or Resi 9, as we've been calling it, has sold 5 million copies in the first 5 days.
Wow. I mean, it came out on Friday? No, Friday it came out, didn't it?
Yeah.
27th, yeah. So, yeah. It's not even been out a week yet. 5 million copies. That is pretty amazing. It is a good game. So, we'll be talking about it in a bit. But, yeah, cool. Wow. 5 million copies.
Yeah.
I wonder how it compares to the Village and Resi 7. That'd be interesting. Might have to look that up later.
We haven't really done much research in that for like sales numbers, but
no, we'll have a look at that later. But yeah, I'm assuming because Village, I enjoyed Village, but I mean, I think I'm enjoying Requiem more so far. But anyway, about that, what you've been playing.
So. I've watched Let's Plays, of both 7 and Village. And so, even though I sort of skip playing them, I don't really feel like I need to play them myself.
No, you don't really need to have played. I mean, I suppose the only one you kind of, for context, that you would like to play is Resident Evil 2, because Leon's in this one, obviously, and Raccoon City and all that lot.
Yeah, but he's in 4 as well, and I've played that to death.
He is in 4, yeah, true. And he makes an appearance in 6 as well, doesn't he?
He does in 6, yeah.
Yeah, which I've not played, because that's the worst one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the bad one. It's got like 6 has got like 3 campaigns mixed into one, and there's 3 different protagonists, and Leon is one of them in 6. But it's not very good at all. If 5 was slightly worse than 4, 6 is worse than both of them.
Right. I do own it, but I've never played it. I might play it just to see what it's like. I don't think I've even booted it up because I think I got 5 and 6 as part of a deal on the PSN on PS4. Mm-hmm. So I played about half of 5 and I got this bit. I think it's down near a lake or a sea, or I can't remember. And I couldn't get past that bit and I wasn't enjoying it that much anyway, so I've not gone back to it.
No, I mean, we'll come on to this when we start talking about more in what we've been playing, but Requiem feels like the game that 6 should have been, really.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. So, what's your other bit of news?
The other thing I've got is Highguard is going offline on March the 12th, says the developer Wildlight, after disappointing and diminishing player base.
When did this game launch?
January?
God, is that, and it's already been taken offline.
Well, yeah, but if you look on Steam, the player count is like less than 500 a day.
This sounds like a lot like what happened to Concord.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a real shame, isn't it? I had no interest in the game anyway, but
no, I mean, it's a PvP raid shooter, so it's very much not our genre. So,
yeah, it was a real shame.
Yeah,
because a lot of development time would have gone into it, and now they're taking it offline. I guess they don't want to spend money on it, so they're just pulling the plug.
Well, yeah, I was like, what's the point in spending the money on keeping the servers up if they've got less than 500 players a day?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, from a financial point of view, I suppose they just don't want to commit any more funds to it, so they're just killing it.
Like 6 weeks after launch, it's just dead.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Mm.
It just shows you that these live service games, you really have to either break the mold or it has to be extremely compelling to play. I mean, I think the original Destiny hit at the right time. For people to, because you could complete the campaign entirely solo or co-op, and then you carried on with your light levels and all that lot, and they fundamentally shook up the game with all the DLCs, and then Destiny 2, which is still very popular, I think.
No, it's dying.
It's dying, okay. And then the main ones are obviously still going, Fortnite, and like Rainbow Six, they're the kind of...
Yeah.
Live service games that have been successful, but
I think Destiny 2 hit its kind of peak for player count around Final Shape.
Yeah.
But then because that was like the end of the storyline, so to speak, a lot of people like me quit after Final Shape. And from what I understand, the player base has just dwindled and dwindled and dwindled since then. The last thing I heard, it was last like less than 10,000.
Right.
So considering it was like 350,000 plus at like Final Shape, and now it's like less than 10,000, is like I say, it's struggling.
Well, their new one launches tomorrow, Marathon.
Marathon, yeah, it's another extraction shooter.
Yeah. We'll see how successful that becomes, I guess. Maybe Destiny players will migrate to Marathon, though it is a very different game, isn't it? Guess we'll see. Cool.
What do you got?
Well, my bit of news is the new release that's coming out in a couple of weeks, Crimson Desert, has passed 3 million wish lists as the excitement grows around the single player RPG.
Oh, cool.
So this was announced on the official Crimson Desert social media accounts, and this is the wish list purely marks an early interest on Steam. But it's still 3 million wish lists is pretty good. I have already pre-ordered this game because I was umming and ahhing whether I was going to get it or not, but it is an RPG and it is single player, so kind of my bag. And yeah, I'll talk about it when we get the when I get the game later this month. But I've seen a couple of like preview videos on Gaming Bolt and Game Ranks on YouTube, and it looks decent. It looks like a decent RPG.
Yeah,
It's
what strange little headline thing about the what was the thing about people think the console version isn't ready or something? I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's always this chatter about console versions never as good as a PC version, blah blah blah. But you can't judge until you see it in front of you. I'm sure Digital Foundry will do their analysis of it when it launches, like they normally do. So it's always with a new release, you've always got to wait a period of time to for some of the games to stabilize. So that has been a thing. I mean, that happened with Dragon Age, Veilguard. They changed a few things. Even after The Witcher, when that launched back in 2015, it took a couple of months for it to, patches and that kind of stuff. So, fair enough, it might run poorly when it's first launched, but I'm sure they'll sort it out. I mean, it's quite a big anticipated game. So they have stated there's absolutely no AI voice acting in the game, which is pretty
That's
good.
good. Yeah.
So yeah, and there's no microtransactions either or anything like that.
Right, cool.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. Guess report back once I've played it. It comes out when it comes out on the I think the 19th of August, March. So
Interesting to see how, isn't it developed by the same people that do Black Desert Online, which is the MMO?
yes, that's the MMO. This is the same development team. They are a Korean development team. So yeah, it's their first venture into, because I think originally it was going to be some kind of interactive like MMO companion to the Black Desert. That's what it started as, but then they went to single player instead. So I mean, the footage of it looks quite good, but yeah, looking forward to that one.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah, that takes us into what we've been playing. I mean, we both played Resident Evil Requiem, but maybe we'll get our other games out of the way first. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Neo 3.
All right.
I completed it, finished it
Nice. Well done.
after a hundred. Thank you. After 102 hours,
Jeez.
the final boss was challenging, as expected. I've come like a level 143 now, or something like that. But it's getting ridiculous to the amount of level. It's like nearly 3 million Amrita to just go one level.
Amateur is XP for people who haven't played Neo games. So do you think is your character OP at this point? Because level 143, you'd think you would be, but knowing Neo games,
No, I mean, I wouldn't say it's OP, because Ninja is OP in this game. If you can get the right Ninja build, you can absolutely destroy content. Whether it be enemies, bosses, or whatever. But now I've hit the new game plus, you get access to the divine equipment. So that you can actually be really OP with. It opens up a new difficulty, but because I've collected everything in the game, in the new game plus, you don't have to collect all the little kadamas and all the chests and all the other things, but it's still worthwhile doing like the crucibles and the crucible wraiths and the crucible spikes, I think they're called. These are things that you collect for your first playthrough, but you can collect them again to make your guardian spirit stronger. So I may do a New Game Plus run. I think the level cap in New Game Plus is 250.
Right, okay.
Until the first DLC, which will drop, which is probably, I think it was like over 3 to 6 months after the base game's launched. So we won't see the first DLC before the summer, I don't think.
No.
And they're only doing two DLCs this time. They did three for Neo 1 and Neo 2.
Right.
And that introduces a new level of difficulty as well, plus extra gear. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed the game. It was very challenging at some points, being a Neo game. I enjoyed the open world. I enjoyed just roaming around, collecting things and leveling up. It's a really, the best version of the Neo game that they've done, I think.
All right, cool.
The other thing I've been playing is I went back and played some more Outlaws on the Switch.
Well, this surprised me that you're still playing it.
Yeah, well, I did go back and play some because I was like determined to try and get to the end of the game. I haven't quite made it. But I realized after playing my complaints after the first time I played it, this game is intentionally, it doesn't hold your hands. As in, it is an old school first person shooter. You've got to figure out what you've got to do. That's why there's no waypoints. That's why there's no help. That's why you've just got to figure out what you've got to do.
Right.
And some bits of it, I could not figure out what I needed to do. So I did have to use a little bit of a guide on some levels.
Mm.
There's one bit where you have to get these cogs that you put in like a basically opens up a big door, which opens up the door to get to the boss of that level. Then you complete the level and go on to the next one. But these gears are dotted about the level and they're not marked on the map anywhere. So you have to figure out where they are. And to get them, there's like these little waterways that you flow down, and there's like these doors that open and close, but they only open and close when you shoot the lock, which open and closes them.
Right.
I'd completely forgotten that. So I was going down these little waterways thinking, how the fuck am I supposed to? I know where I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to go over there. And then, oh, I've got to shoot these bloody things. I was like, I wouldn't have figured that out if someone hadn't pointed it out. I obviously figured it out back in the day because I did complete it back in the day.
Right.
And it's one of them. It's an okay game. I mean, gaming has evolved a lot in the last 30 years, and this is just of its time. I probably will finish it. There is DLC, which I might play, but I was getting to the point where I was kind of enjoying it because you get better weapons as you go along, and I'm playing it on like the medium or the normal difficulty. I can't remember what.
Right.
But yeah, I did play some more of that. And obviously, we have played Resident Evil Requiem, but we'll talk about that after you've talked about the other game that you've been playing.
Yes, which is Scott Pilgrim EX.
Nice. So this is a side-scrolling beat-em-up.
It is, and it's technically an indie game, but I'm not sure if it's necessarily the type of indie game that Gavin likes. So it might not tickle his pickle. But it's same developer as the Ubisoft published one from back in the day.
Right.
And it's got a little bit of RPG in it, and your characters level up, and it's not necessarily as straightforward as a normal side-scrolling beat-em-up where you go from left to right, A to B.
Yeah.
There was one bit where I'd got so far to the end of the level, so I thought, and couldn't get it to go any further, and I was like, where'd I go? And then I spotted this beach ball and then looked on the map and there's a beach section, so I picked up the beach ball and carried it all the way back to the beach, and sure enough, that triggered the boss that then finished the quest that I was trying to do. And I've done like two quests. It's got like quests inside it that you do, you tick off as you go through, and you have to like rescue a lot of the rest of your band, and you have to get your instruments back. And there's certain little bits in the levels that you have to have a certain instrument to get in. So I got Scott's bass back. And then there's a section I've got where you have to get his bass plus another instrument from one of the other band members, and only when you've got those two can you go into that particular area. So I haven't really got a handle on it properly. It's a bit unusual for this kind of game, but it's good on them for, like, you know, trying to mix up a bit and, you know, change it up rather than being just walk from left to right to the end of every level, do a boss.
You're playing this on Xbox, are you?
Yes.
Cool. And has it got like the like 1,000 achievement points, like
I haven't got any achievements yet, but it has got 1,000 achievement points. It's also on the PS5, on the Switch and Switch 2. I'm guessing it's on PC.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder. Hopefully, there's no glitches in the platinum like the original game.
Oh, jeez. Because it's on Xbox, probably won't be getting for all 1,000 achievement points anyway. But like I say, from the couple of hours and the two quests or missions I've done so far, no achievements popped anyway. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, fair enough. Cool. Mm. So let's talk about Resident Evil Requiem then. So my copy landed Friday. I did boot it up on Friday night, and I played a fair bit of it. So this is set 20 years after Resident Evil 2?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. 20 years
after. I was going to ask you about, so you know, you mentioning that like Leon's handler.
Yeah.
Is someone different from Hunnigan in 4.
Yep.
And then when I looked into it afterwards, like the handler in this is Sherry.
She's the little girl in Resident Evil 2.
I was going to say, is that her?
Yes, that is her.
Wow.
Yeah, because she's also, as part of this, it's not really a spoiler, as part of this game, anyone who was in Raccoon City when it was bombed has got an infection.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, she's this black... weird. Sherry's got it in her hand, Leon's got it all over his neck.
Yeah.
Another character who, well, I'm not trying to spoil anything, has got it all over his face. So yeah, it's something to do with that.
It's a version of the T-Rex.
Just a mutation of the T-Virus. Yeah, which was from the original game. But I was pretty impressed booting it up and playing it. Your default option for Grace is first person.
Yes.
And also your default option for Leon is third person. I changed both to third person.
Me too.
So I did consider playing Grace's first, but I thought, no, I'd play both to third person. So that's pretty good that they could do that. There's quite a lot of accessibility options in this game, which is good.
Yeah,
there's
good.
A lot that you can configure, which I like to see that in these types of games.
Mm-hmm.
But making the way through like the kind of first area, which is a hotel that you go to.
Yes.
It's a spoiler, really. But then you have to start going around this hotel and solving various different puzzles and stuff, I think.
It's literally the start of a game, so I'm not sure how much of a spoiler that is.
No, yeah. The difference in this game is the way that the zombies interact.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. Mm. Like, there's one guy who keeps wandering around the hotel, who keeps switching the lights.
I was gonna say, if you turn the light on... and wait, he will come and turn the light off.
Yes, which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah.
And then there's another... like
small areas of their personalities that they still remain.
Yeah, interesting that.
Yeah.
And also there's a guy like in the kitchen of the hotel who's chopping stuff up.
Yeah.
Which you kind of have to get past him to get to a certain area.
Yeah.
You actually get a trophy for killing him, which I did get.
Me too. An achievement.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I'm very impressed with the game overall. What do you think?
Yeah. So I only played like an hour on launch day because I'd worked like 9 till 7:30, and by the time I ate and sat down to play, it was like 8:30, and I played for like an hour till 9:30, and I was like, I'm too tired, I'm going to bed.
Yeah, fair enough.
So went back to it on Saturday, and didn't think I played anything. No, I didn't play it on Sunday. Played some on Monday. And but yeah, so Monday was my first day off. I've got Monday, tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday off, and because I had yesterday off, I just absolutely smashed it yesterday and played it all day.
Cool.
Rolled credits yesterday evening.
Wow, well done.
Thanks.
Yeah,
and did about 11.5 hours. I did only play on casual because I remember having to knock Resi 4 Remake down to casual after Baghead killed me with the chainsaw about 10 times.
Yeah. Chainsaws do make an appearance in this game as well.
They do.
Yeah.
So a certain person who is quite often on our show with us called me a big girl's blouse playing on casual.
Look, video gaming is all about having fun. So
yes.
If you want to play it on casual, you play on casual.
Yes. Like, we may do an episode in the future about the whole stigma about playing games on easy or casual.
That's a good idea, yeah. I mean, we'll have to do that in the future, yeah.
So I did very much enjoy it. I enjoyed the Leon sections much more than the Grace sections.
Well, this is the difference.
In this game.
Yeah, this is the difference. I mean, Grace is like a, basically she's an FBI analyst. She's not like a field agent or anything like that.
No.
She has a bit of a traumatic past, which I won't really spoil here. Mm-hmm. But I think the idea of Grace is because she is more of a unseasoned, I suppose, fighter. Yes.
She's a behind the desk person.
Yeah. So she's very much, does need what she needs to do, but she's terrified most of the time.
Yes.
Whereas Leon has been through multiple iterations of zombies. So he's like, just bring it on.
Yeah, he's a badass. He's very much seasoned. So Grace plays like old school Resi, like Resident Evil 1, 2, 3 gameplay, where you're very limited on ammo.
Very limited. I couldn't believe how limited. The first couple of hours, it was very like difficult. Oh my god, do I craft a health kit or do I craft ammo?
I was gonna say they have got crafting, so you can at least make ammo.
Yeah.
Which was not really a thing until like what, Resi 3, I think,
Resi
was
the first 3, game. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And there's an awful lot of like sort of sneaking past zombies rather than engaging, especially
engaging
when you get
them, definitely, yeah.
Especially when you get the blister heads start to turn up, which are like sort of new versions of crimson heads.
Yes,
where zombies, if you haven't removed their head for the body, start coming back as these blister heads, are a lot harder to kill.
And well, I wasted a lot of just normal handgun ammo because the Requiem in this game refers to the handgun that Leon has.
Yes, it's called hand cannon.
Hand cannon, sorry, yes, hand cannon, you're right. It's called Requiem. That is the name of the gun or hand cannon. And he does end up giving it to Grace at one stage.
Yes.
Which he does use, but yeah, that is very, very limited on it.
Yes. And you can make ammo for it, but you need rare scrap.
Yes.
Whereas the normal scrap you can use to make, you know, other ammo for other guns.
Absolutely. I mean, they didn't have the trader from Resident Evil 4 in this. He's been replaced.
No, they replaced him with a box.
Which is a bit weird, isn't it?
I was not happy.
Well, you get to a certain section, probably halfway through-ish for the game, maybe two-thirds, where you earn a certain amount of CP. I'm guessing it's credit points.
Yes.
Every time you kill a zombie in that area. Which then allow you to go back to this box and you can upgrade weapons, you can purchase different weapons,
you can buy armor.
Yeah, because you're quite limited as Grace, you're limited on your inventory space.
Yes.
When you can
be upgraded.
Yeah, you can pick up those little upgraded, like, bum bags, I want to call them.
Pouches or whatever they are, yeah.
Pouches or whatever they are. And then as Leon, you've got a lot more space. Like, I'm carrying, like, I really like the animation as Grace and Leon. If they're holding a torch in their left hand, and they're holding a weapon in their right hand, and you reload, what they'll do, both of them, is they put the torch between like their shoulder and their chin and hold it, and then like reload. I thought that was really cool, that. Because if you don't have your torch out, they just reload as normal, which I thought was a really good touch. I quite like that. I didn't notice it at first. And I was like, why have they got their head? I'm like, oh, they're holding the torch between like their shoulder and their neck kind of thing. I thought that was really cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah, but it is really enjoyable.
It is. It's really good. Like I say, I didn't enjoy the Grace bits as much as the Leon bits. And thankfully, the Grace bits are mainly in the first half of the game.
Pretty much, yeah.
The second half of the game, after a certain point, you just play as Leon, pretty much.
Yeah.
For the most part, anyway. There's like tiny little bits where you switch back to Grace for like a very short period, but they don't last long before you're back as Leon again.
Yeah, I think that's the way that they approached it, right? Like, the first half of the game, it's mostly Grace with a little bit of Leon peppered in every so often. And then the reverse, right, the second half of the game. Because I don't think I'm far off completing it. I'd say I'm about 3/4 of the way through, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, probably about, like you said, about 2 hours from the end.
About 2 hours, I would say, from the end-ish. So, yeah, I'll probably complete it this weekend, I would have thought.
Cool.
So, and then there's the... Do I go for platinum, which involves at least 3 more runs through the game?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a speed run.
So there will be a finish the game in less than a certain amount of time trophy.
Yep, there's a speed run. There's a run making it through the game without healing at all. In Resident Evil 4, you could heal twice and that was it, like the heal. And there's another one. There's a little contraption that Grace gets that lets you craft stuff.
Yep.
there's a trophy for making through a game. They're never using that.
Right. Okay. Like, so that's a pretty big part of the game, and not being able to use it is going to be a challenge.
I mean, it will be doable. So, because I didn't get the Platinum for Resident Evil 4 remake, because why didn't I get it? I nearly did it. I think it was on the no health run. I was really struggling. I think I got about halfway through the game. And
also, isn't that the game has got a trophy for like finishing on hard in like less than 6 hours or something?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Which was another thing that I was struggling with, which is why I haven't got the Platinum for Resident Evil 4 remake.
Well, yeah, like I've never even attempted it, because my first playthrough of that was like 18 hours.
Yeah.
Second playthrough where I skipped all the cutscenes was still 15 hours. So yeah. I was like, how am I going to shave another 9 hours off that on hard? It's just not happening.
Basically, what you have to do is the way on hard is you have to unlock the Infinite Rocket Launcher.
Right.
And you just have to run through the game, literally, past most enemies, hit the story points, kill the bosses with the rocket launcher, and just get through it as quickly as possible, which it can take some of the fun out of it, but that's what's not about fun. Speedrun is like purely get through the game as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I guess
so. I did it on Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3 remake, because my first playthrough of Resident Evil 2 remake was like 12 hours or something like that. You can complete the game in less than 2 hours.
Right.
So, you know, if you're quick. But yeah, I'm sure there'll be speedrunners out here. I think there's already somebody who's completed a Requiem in like less than an hour and a half.
Yeah, well, I think it was like 1 hour 48, or so. It was less than 2 hours.
Less than 2 hours, yeah. Yeah, which didn't surprise me. So, you know, if you just literally run through the game and run past most enemies, you can probably do that, which I know why Capcom do it, but it takes the fun out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just don't understand the enjoyment. I mean, fair enough if that's what people are into, but
So that moves into Retro Corner. I think I'll go first with this one. So okay. I was thinking about this one the other day. I don't know why, but this is a game that I played way back in the day, because it came out in 1986, and it's called Super Robin Hood. So this was a game that came out on Amstrad CPC initially. I think there was also a Spectrum and a Commodore 64 version. And there's also a NES version, which we'll talk about later. Yeah, which I didn't realize until I was researching it earlier. But the main gist of this game is it's a platform game. And you're obviously in the Sheriff of Nottingham's castle in Nottingham as Robin Hood, and you have to rescue Maid Marian. That's pretty much the plot as it is. But the enemies consisted of like knights and spiders for some reason. Don't ask me why. These big fuck-off spiders up and down the screen. I don't know if there were huge spiders in Robin Hood's day. Maybe there was. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you are. It's use something called flip screening, where you'd have one screen that you'd make your way through, and then you could flip to the next screen, but you only have one screen at a time kind of thing. But they changed it up for the NES version, where they made it into a side-scrolling.
Oh.
So, because the NES version came out in 1993, I think it was.
Oh, it's late for a NES game.
Yeah, it was late for a NES. I did have a quick look at it earlier, and it does look significantly better than the Amstrad version.
Right.
Because the Amstrad was 8-bit. I think the NES was 8-bit as well. But because they made it side-scrolling, and it was a pure games console, whereas the Amstrad was a computer, then, you know, they were able to dedicate more resources to it. It's not a bad version, I think, on the NES. But basically, in the original version, you had to collect items that like tablets, which replenish health, red hearts, which provide like bonuses, and activate platforms with keys and that kind of thing. And then you had to make your way, and it had very, very, very early voice sampling, like almost terrible voice sampling. Like there's one bit where you can hear Marion saying, "Save me, Robin." But instead of coming out like a normal, it was like, that's how bad it was.
Mm.
But it was, I mean, this was 86. So, you know, and it was programmed by the Oliver Twins, because it was done by Codemasters. So this is when they were still just making games on their own.
Right.
So, but I think I did finish it back in the day, because I liked all the Codemasters games. I've talked about Dizzy before.
Yeah.
There was Fantastic World Dizzy, Treasure Island Dizzy, Micro Machines. All their Codemasters games are really good fun on the 8-bit systems. I mean, Codemasters, the company, is still going. I don't think they have anything to do with it anymore. I think they sold the company. They're not even like non-executive directors or anything like that. They don't have anything to do with the company anymore.
Yeah,
but they're the ones who created Codemasters. But yeah, you're basically, your only weapon was being a bow and arrow because you were Robin Hood. But you seem to have infinite arrows, which is pretty funny.
Oh, nice.
You had to really in this game. It wouldn't really work. It wouldn't really work if you ran out of ammo, would it really? So yeah.
I guess not.
But not a bad little game. I mean, if you wanted to play it on an emulator, it is available, although we don't condone piracy on this podcast. It never happened.
No, I was gonna say, I wonder how much the NES original costs these days.
Yeah. I mean, you can play it on emulators, but yeah, you must have a original copy of the game. We must stress that.
Yes.
So yeah, that was my pick for this week. What about yours?
Nice. So mine is, I'm waving again like the listeners can see me when they can't. Beautiful Joe.
Yeah.
Which was GameCube and released in 2003.
Yeah.
And was originally part of the Capcom 5 announced by Capcom that was supposed to be exclusive to the GameCube. And like the majority of the Capcom 5, it ended up on the PS2.
Yes, so there was a PS2 version of this, isn't there?
Yes. Like, out of the Capcom 5, all of them got PS2 versions, apart from there's one game that never released, like something Phoenix.
Right.
Dead Phoenix, maybe? That got cancelled. And product number 3, or PNO3, is the only one that remained GameCube exclusive.
Right.
The other three that actually released all got ported to the PS2 as well, being Beautiful Joe, Resi 4, and Killer 7 all got PS2 versions.
Yep.
And Beautiful Joe was made by Clover, who I think were a subsidiary of Capcom.
I believe so, yeah.
I think they closed. I mean, they Clover made Okami as well.
Yeah, that's the one with the dog in it.
Yes. And were eventually closed down.
Yeah. Yeah, it was closed down quite a while ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And Beautiful Joe is like a, it's almost like a side-scrolling beat-em-up platformer.
Yeah, it's very manga influence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got his catchphrase, which is Henshin Go-Go, baby.
I've forgotten that, but yeah. I did play this game on GameCube, I think. I never finished it, though.
No. And he says that to transform into Beautiful Joe. He's just normal Joe. And the sort of plot, inverted commas, because it's very loose on plot, but is like Joe takes his girlfriend Sylvia to the cinema, and the film that they're watching has got Captain Blue, who's like almost Joe's like idol hero,
yeah,
fighting against this bad guy. And the bad guy like reaches through the film screen and grabs Sylvia and kidnaps her, takes her into the film.
Yeah.
And then Captain Blue comes out of the film and tells Joe that he has to go after her and rescue her, and turns him into Beautiful Joe.
Yeah, so he becomes like a superhero.
Yes. And you get like the power to slow down time in like the first level.
Yeah.
And then you later on get the power to speed up time as well, if I remember. Something
like that, yeah. I mean, I've not played it since 2003, so it's a while ago now.
I mean, I hadn't until this week. I got a copy from CEX for £12.
That's pretty good, actually, for that game.
Yeah, like they sent it to me. I got it from the online one. So the first game, like I say, £12. The sequel that released in 2005, you can't find anywhere online for less than £50.
Really? I wonder why that is.
It's like 21 years old. I think it was Rare. Didn't release many copies of the second one.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so expensive now.
Yeah, fair enough. I think remembering Beautiful Joe 2, it was almost like a reskin of the first game, I think.
Mm.
I don't know how much was different about it, but I remember reviews coming out about it saying it wasn't really worth having a sequel, or at least the sequel wasn't as good as the original.
Yeah, wasn't the second one called like Double Trouble or something?
Something like that, yeah.
But yeah, you use the powers to slow down time or speed up time to like sort of do more damage to enemies. And, you know, you've got crazy bosses. Like there's a helicopter as a boss at some point in like the first level.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. I can't say I'll play masses of it, I think, since getting it again, but it was one I wanted to talk about again, so thought I'd refresh my memory.
Nice one. That's good. So I think we're into Platinum Watch, which I'll very briefly. I am going for the Platinum on Neo 3, but I have not played any of it since I got Resident Evil Requiem.
No.
So I've got 42 out of 51 trophies on Neo 3. So I've only got 9 more trophies to get. So I will be getting the Platinum for it. I just haven't gone back and done it. I've just got to sit down and just grind my way through it. There's 3 trophies specifically that are tied to 3 hard enemies in the game, like a Demon of Fury, Demon of something else. I can't remember the names. But I had a couple of goes at a couple of them, and they're quite hard. So yeah. Once I've beaten them, it's just like 3 or 4 miscellaneous trophies, I think. And then I will have got the Platinum. So, yeah, cool. I will be getting that. So that moves us on to our main subject this week, and we're going to talk about focus on Elden Ring.
Yes.
So I don't remember where I first heard about Elden Ring, you know, because we talked about Soul Games quite a lot on this podcast.
Yeah.
And I can't remember when I first heard about it, but anyway, this was the quote-unquote first sort of open-world Souls-type game.
Yeah, like I haven't got a massive amount of facts about this one, but I do know that production on it started in 2017.
Oh, right, that's earlier than I thought. Okay.
The game was revealed at E3 2019.
Right, it's quite
the very first trailer.
Yeah. And
after that very first trailer, like the teaser, there wasn't any more shown of it until 2021.
Right, so it was a good couple of years between the teaser and like more came out.
And the game released in February 2022. So it pretty much had almost 5 years in development.
Yeah, it was quite a while in development. And you can definitely tell they wanted to go in like a different direction in regards to the way you interacted with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Dark Souls formula was, they weren't really open world per se. You didn't have a map in any of the games, did you? I can't remember.
No, there was no. The first game they did that had a map.
There was no map in Dark Souls 1, 2, or 3, or Sekiro, I don't think, and definitely not Bloodborne. So you had to kind of map the areas mentally in your head, like, oh, I've got to go through Blight Town to get to a certain area, or I've got to go through, you know, Old Yharnam to get to a certain area in Bloodborne. Yeah. But in Elden Ring, there's an overworld map.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not available to you in its entirety until you've basically completed the game.
Yeah.
You start off in like this little area and there's nothing. As you progress, you get these like little directional like arrows, I suppose they are.
Yeah, it's the the Something of Grace.
Yeah. Something of Grace, can't remember exactly what it is, but it basically directs you in the where you should be heading to as part of the main story.
Yes,
which they never had that before. I kind of think they kind of had to put that in to guide players, or some people didn't bother, they just jumped straight in. But the thing is, you could end up in a high level area and be absolutely wasted and not realize
it. Yeah,
but the kind of tutorial boss, as per a la Dark Souls. Some people have beaten him, like, in the beginning of the game. I don't know what happens if you beat him, but you're supposed to die to him.
Yes.
And that's when you wake up and, like, the first time you die at the nearest grace, and then you get some exposition from one of the characters and that kind of thing. And then you can just basically head off in any direction that you want to, really.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that first area, I think I did a couple of times because... The bosses in this game, I mean, there are always these unique bosses in these Dark Souls games, and this was no exception. I think all the bosses were really well done. They all had different kind of patterns, and they weren't, I mean, they were difficult, but it was a bit, quote unquote, easy to recognize their patterns, I think, compared to previous Souls games.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. And you know, the builds in this game are very still much in the Dark Souls kind of tradition.
Yes.
The way that the builds work, you know, strength, dexterity, magic, whatever you want to use. And
so I did a faith build.
Yeah, I did. Did I do a strength build? I think I did a strength build on the first playthrough. Yeah, I did. I always like to get the biggest fuck off weapon I can find. and just go to town on people and take as much damage as possible. I did do a magic build as part of the Platinum
walk. When you say magic, do you mean intelligence?
Intelligence, yeah, sorry.
Because but, I want to play Pyromancer, and Pyromancer is very much a faith build in this game.
Yeah, yeah, very much. And like you say, magic is intelligence build in this game. But the magic build is pretty powerful as well. You know, you can, if you get the right spells and stuff, you can do a lot of damage. I think the good thing about this game was, because didn't really need a guide to get through this game per se, because it was open world, you could just, it's those little, I always remember when I came across that first kind of like staircase or ladder, which just took you down to like these little like dungeon areas. And there was always like a chest at the end of them.
Legacy dungeons.
Legacy dungeons, yeah. So that was cool doing that. And then you make your way through the game. I mean, I think they've not released the Souls games since this one, have they? Apart from the
DLC.
Yeah.
Which took them 2 years to make, and it's big.
Yeah.
There's a reason that Shadows of the Erd Tree took them 2 years.
Yeah. I have not played the Shadows of the Erd Tree. I still haven't played it.
It released in like 2024.
Yeah.
Like 2 years after the original base game.
Yeah. I should play it, really.
You should. It's harder than the base game.
Yeah. It's a very different experience, isn't it, compared to the base game? In regards to the way that you level up anyway.
Yeah, so they've changed the leveling system for the DLC to something that only affects you in the DLC.
Yeah, which makes sense, I suppose. But why not give me some more trophies for it? I know I've got the Platinum twice on the PS version, the PS5 version, but, you know, I'd like some trophies.
Well, FromSoft don't like putting trophies in the DLC. The only reason they've got them in Bloodborne is because Sony made them put them in.
Yeah. Yeah, they never did it for Dark Souls 3. They didn't do it for Dark Souls 1 or 2.
No.
And Sekiro, they never did any DLC for it.
No.
So, yeah, you're right. If it's down to From Software, they won't put any additional kind of trophies in or anything like that.
Yeah.
But did you do much co-op in this? Like, play with people to, like, do a run with co-op? Because I never did.
Yes, really. I did. Me, Kyle, and Derek did a multiplayer playthrough.
Nice. And how long did it take you from like start to finish, as in game time, not like, you know, real time?
I don't know, because it was Sunday night game for however long it took us to beat it.
Right, fair enough.
Sorry.
The more people you add, the harder the bosses are?
Yeah.
Or the bigger health pool they have.
Yes. So,
yeah, the health pool increases by, I think it's if you have another person, it's by 1.5 times. If it's a third person, it's 3 times their normal health, I think.
Yes.
Something.
And we did a 3-player run through of Shadows of the Erd Tree as well. And then I also did a one player in inverted commas, one through of the DLC on Xbox.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, I did summon in that from time to time, because some of the bosses are fucking hard.
I think they actually, From Software, had to adjust the final boss of the DLC, didn't they? Because
he was too hard.
He was too hard. A lot of people really, really struggled. And people who did beat it before they patched it were like, well, why is it easier now?
Well, yeah, so Kyle beat it before they patched it, but I never did.
No. So, I mean, I never even played it. So I didn't have that experience. But yeah, I mean, I've played through Elden Ring twice in its entirety. Well, technically 3 times, because I did a PS4 and PS5 Platinum run in parallel. Right. So what I would do is I would play like a couple of hours of the PS4 version, then bring the save over to the PS5 version, and then carry on the PS5 version, do that trophy, go back to the PS4, and I kept flip-flopping. So I technically did 3 playthroughs of it, I suppose.
Right.
But with each playthrough, like, I've never done the New Game Plus in Dark Souls games, apart from Dark Souls 1, where you have to do it twice to get the Platinum.
Mm-hmm.
So I've not done a New Game Plus run in this game, have you?
I don't think so.
No, because how many you can? I think on Dark Souls 7 you can like New Game Plus 7. I think Dark Souls. Say that again. I think in Dark Souls 3,
yeah,
you can go up to New Game Plus 7.
Yes.
But I can't. I don't know what you can do on Elden Ring. I've no idea. I'm assuming it's the same.
Yeah, presumably, but I haven't done it.
No, I can't imagine how hard it must be to like keep going through the same content but harder every time.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard enough to start with, never mind doing it on new game plus 7.
I mean, we'll talk about the lore briefly of this game, because neither of us are experts on this and we hold our hands up to that. But the lore in this game is probably the most lore heavy of all the Souls games.
Yes.
And there's a lot. I mean,
they got George R. R. Martin, who's the Game of Thrones guy, to come up with the lore.
Yeah. And there's a lot of it. I mean, I will put a link in the description of a lore video that Jeremy and I have both watched, but be warned, it's a lot and the guy talks fast.
Yes.
So if you really want to know about the lore, you might have to digest it in little chunks, because there's a lot of lore in this game. And the lore, I wasn't really that bothered about. I don't know if that's sacrilege in the Souls game, because I just want to play, experience the game. Like, I want to level up my weapon and my armor and beat these bosses. That is the challenge for me.
To boil it down, the very basic version of it is that you're tarnished and you want to become Elden Lord.
Yeah, pretty much.
Then you'll get the Elden Ring if you become Elden Lord. That's basically it. But there's an awful lot of lore that comes around
that, yeah.
Characters and the NPCs.
Yeah, it is good lore, don't get me wrong, but it's not essential to understand it to enjoy the game.
No.
I mean, like all the Souls games, really, apart from Sekiro, that had a proper quote-unquote plot, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, so Vati Vidya is the Australian YouTuber who's massive on lore, and if you want to look into an awful lot of the Elden Ring and Souls lore in general, he's really good.
Yeah,
if you're into all that. But although I've watched a lot of his videos, like I said, I couldn't necessarily explain the inverted commas plot about Elden Ring from start to finish.
No,
nowhere near.
And you don't need to, really, to be able to enjoy the game.
Yeah,
but I think, you know, it's the most modern version of a Souls game that From Software have made, and I mean, we're waiting for Dusk Bloods to come out this year.
Yes.
That is a multiplayer-focused game.
It is.
It's not single player. So I don't know if they're working on another single player Souls game.
I presume they are, but they've not announced it.
They've not announced anything, have they?
No.
And it's not... I mean, some people are speculating that they're going to make an Elden Ring 2.
Yeah, I would have thought that's what they're going to do, but my mate Derek is adamant they're doing Dark Souls 4.
We can hold on to that hope, can't they?
Yes.
But we'll
even though they've been pretty conclusive about the fact that Dark Souls trilogy is done,
yeah,
he's adamant they're doing a fourth one, so we'll see.
And it's not, there's never going to be a Bloodborne 2, is there? We know that. Crying into our keyboards for that one.
I mean, the most recent thing with all that is it came out that Bluepoint, RIP, went to Sony and said, "We want to do a Bloodborne remake for you." And so they went to FromSoft, and FromSoft turned it down.
Yeah. I think because Miyazaki wants to do it himself.
Yeah, but then why doesn't he go back to Sony and be like, okay, we'll do the remake, I'm going to do it, and needs to get them to greenlight it. I don't understand why there's not a communication there.
No. I mean, it's been 11 years nearly since Bloodborne
came
out. It's crazy. It's crazy. Mm. Right, I think that brings us to the end of that section and to the end of this episode. So thank you very much for listening, if you have been doing so. You can email us with any feedback at twoguys3consoles@yahoo.com. That is all letters, no numbers. We've got a Discord channel that you can get us on. Our link is in the description, and it's free to join.
It's free, yeah.
You can get us on Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok, which we don't use, and Facebook, which is audio only, at twoguys3consoles. And
audio only, or YouTube's audio only?
YouTube's audio only, sorry. And we've got a Facebook group, which is also the links in the description. Mm-hmm. If you want to get me on Instagram, I'm at mleach26. And if you want to get me on Blue Sky, I'm at mattleach1.
Yeah, and on Instagram, I am j_monster. And Blue Sky, I am jmonster, no space, no underscore.
Good stuff. Well, we will see you on the next episode. We should be next week. So thanks very much. We'll see you later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.